The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour for a Monday. With us in studio, as he is on a regular basis, is Sam Creamer from the Creamer Law Firm. Sam, good to see you again, as always. You're looking mighty sharp again today.
Well, thank you, Michael.
New shirt?
Always great to be here.
New shirt?
No, but a clean one.
But a clean. Step it up in the world. What do we know here? Sam and I go back decades, and we have talked many times about how business runs and operates and what they sometimes need to make decisions, solid decisions about their business and their future. And Sam specializes in the area of business law with the Creamer Law Firm. And today we're going to be talking about minority business interests, correct?
That's right, Michael. I have come to believe that just because you don't have control does not mean you don't have power. And we find that when there's co-ownerships of businesses, sometimes there are issues that arise between co-owners that involve the operations or involve the sale or management of the company. We've had several cases where it's been very acrimonious and some cases where we were able to resolve it with a lot less bloodshed.
And sometimes these owners, minority share owners in whatever the business, can be family members as well.
I have started telling my clients that family is family right up until money is money.
there is something to that. Well, let's define what a minority shareholder is and what standing he or she might have in a business.
When we talk about minority owners in the context of business, we're talking about someone that has less than 51%. Now, that may be a group. That may be an individual. It's a identification of who does and does not have the majority interest. So the minority is, in some measure, the opposite of the majority.
Sure. And this can take, as you indicated, many different forms. It could be a group of people that have minority interest. And how does a business get into that position of even having minority ownership? Are they selling shares? Are they selling interest in the business?
Normally what happens is an entrepreneur who has a brilliant dream is able to convince others to invest in with him.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And the entrepreneur then sells interests of the business, whether that's a limited liability company or a corporation, to those people that want to participate, and they get a minority interest so that the entrepreneur is, quotation, in control, end quotation. But again, just because they're minority owners does not mean they're without power.
And what kinds of power traditionally or inventively can minority holders of a business have?
Well, let's go back for just one second. Sure. And talk about how power is exercised in a business entity. In a limited liability company, there are two types of structures. One type of structure is member-managed, and the second type of structure is manager-managed. In a member-managed LLC, everyone who owns a piece of the company gets to vote, okay? So they get to run the business collectively as members.
Okay.
In a manager-managed LLC, the members vote to elect a manager, and the manager is then charged with running the LLC. Conversely, in a corporation, it must have directors, okay? And those directors are the ones that are charged with running the company. Now, the reason all of that is so important is because ultimately it is the director's responsibility or the manager's responsibility to run the company. And where we see problems occur are in areas such as salaries. The directors who are representing the majority owners or the majority owners themselves decide, you know, I think it would be really good for me to make $200,000 a year, or this corporation really needs to own a fishing boat, or those types of benefits. We also see it sometimes when a business gets sold. We find that the sale price can sometimes include different types of considerations for the majority owners or for the officers of the company.
When we were talking about an LLC, let me come back to that for just a moment.
Certainly.
So if I start a business and I have an LLC and I own 51% of whatever this is, and I say, okay, and I've sold, if you will, shares of my business to another 49% groups or other people. And I say, well, okay, I'm going to be the manager of this because I own X amount. What if I'm a lousy manager?
Well, lousy manager could come under the business judgment rule.
Hmm.
The business judgment rule is if, in good faith, the manager is exercising their judgment, the fact that, well, it didn't quite work out as anticipated is not exactly the type of thing that is designed to be a protection for the minority.
Got it.
Now, on the other hand, if they're overtly acting in their own interest, if they're engaging in self-dealing.
Fishing boats and raising my own salary.
That's
and,
exactly yeah. it. Then you've got a situation whereby that comes in. The importance of who runs the company is because everyone who runs the company gets an equal vote in the company. What I mean by that is if you have two directors and one director is represented by the majority owner and the second director is the minority owner, they each get one vote in decisions. So it is an indirect link between ownership, between capital accounts, and voting rights.
Okay.
So who these managers are, who these directors are, matters. More importantly is what do the applicable documents say about how these are elected?
When this is all set up.
And there you look at the bylaws of the entity or the operating agreement. And that's where the primary protections for the minority owners come in. You could create situations whereby minority owners get to elect one director or two directors. You could get in a situation whereby the minority owners have a right to determine whether or not the company gets sold. Sometimes this can be so heavily favoring the minority because the minority have rights to unanimity on decisions, like sale of the company, that occurs what I call the tyranny of the minority.
Yeah, I was going to say, because majority shareholder might look at this and say, what have I done? You know, this is my business. I've created this entity. I've sold shares to a minority group. And now I'm at risk of losing everything.
Well, it's not so much losing everything as not getting everything.
Ah.
And the things that are important that should be in the operating agreement sometimes are not. In the event they are not, the statute controls in an operating agreement for an LLC. In those cases, the members must agree unanimously for a sale of the business. Now, that's not the same thing for salaries and those kinds of things, but in these, what I'm going to call extraordinary or extraordinary types of transactions, they vote. There's a different protection for corporations. In a corporate setting, they have what's called a shareholder that votes against the action to be taken, has what's called dissenter's rights or sometimes appraisal rights. So there is a right for the majority to buy out the minority.
Mm-hmm.
But that has to be at fair market value, whatever that is at the time.
And in the agreements.
No, that's by statute.
By statute.
In a corporate setting.
Oh.
And this is one of the differences between corporations and limited liability companies in Iowa.
Okay. What happens if the minority shareholders in an LLC or they say, well, I'm not getting the return on investment that I thought I was going to get?
That's an interesting problem, and it can be twofold. One, it could fall under the question as to whether the majority is oppressing the minority, because there are provisions I'll talk about in a second. But the second consideration is there could be securities laws implications. If you sell an interest in the business, you are ultimately selling a security if that person's not going to be working in the business, and if that person hasn't really had access to all of the inside information. Accordingly, that minority owner may be able to say, look, you violated the securities laws when you sold this to me, and therefore I am entitled to A, B, C, and X, Y, Z protections under securities laws separate and apart from the governance of the company.
And that's SEC, Securities Exchange Commission?
It's also the Iowa Insurance Commissioner.
Oh, really?
So you've got two levels of oversight, both federal and state.
Okay. So how do we make all of this work? How do we avoid issues with regard to minority and majority shareholders?
Well, the first and most important way is don't cheat your minority partners.
You think?
I find that this is a remedy for a lot of ills.
Always try to be truthful, yes.
And the second thing is to make sure that there's clear agreement among the parties as to what the rights are when they're going in. For instance, how do directors get picked? How do operating agreements get amended? Who gets to vote? When do you vote? And those are important questions. I think that one of the things that we are finding now gets to the issue of corporate oppression. Now, that sounds every bit as bad as it is. There's a very famous case here in Iowa called Bauer versus Bauer, which involved a family corporation that owned a farm. And it had transcended a couple of generations in ownership, and now the family is fighting, okay? And one of the things that they were fighting about is whether the minority owners were being oppressed by the majority owners. The Iowa Code for both limited liability companies and corporations has provisions that if the court finds that the minority owners are being badly mistreated, the company gets dissolved. And on dissolution, okay, that doesn't mean it stops instantly, but it does mean they have no further ongoing operations. It does mean that the business as a business stops and it starts liquidating out. I sometimes refer to that as the Samson option. Samson pushing the pillars out of the temple, because ultimately that's what happens. The corporation ultimately, in my opinion, in my experience, in my view, winds up actually worse off for the minority owners because you've got something of a fire sale going on. The further problem with utilizing that remedy is that you basically have key assets which may not be subject to liquidation. For instance, the name of the company. The phone numbers of the company. The goodwill of the company. How do you decide where the client list goes? How do you decide who gets to stay in the business? It is really a very messy situation. By the time you're going to judicial dissolution due to this oppression, it's got to be something pretty serious. And you really need to come to the court with some kind of plan of action.
All right. Have you been party to some of these things?
We have been able to successfully negotiate out business separations. Minority owners that feel they're being badly treated, we've been able to negotiate an exit strategy for them. That is not our first choice. Our first choice is to have in place some kind of buy-sell agreement, some kind of minority rights, some kind of way for parties who are warring to have limited amounts of bloodshed.
And most of the time, people go into these types of arrangements with nothing but good intentions.
Good intentions and hot money. And I think that those are a very interesting problem because, you know, it's often said that an entrepreneur with experience meets a investor with money and 2 years later, they've changed places.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that you said right at the outset is that sometimes families get involved in all of this, and that can really have a detrimental effect on those relationships long term.
It can absolutely destroy a family. Mm. And this is one of the reasons that we not only practice in business work, but also in estate work, because how you pass a company on could create minority ownerships. And we have found routinely that if you've got a business in a family, those family members who are not actively involved in the business, they become the self-proclaimed experts in how to run the business and are more than happy to tell the inside people who have got all the experience and the knowledge how to do things. And that can be just an untenable situation, both for the minority owners as well as for the majority owners.
And then add to that the issue of family members fighting each other over a prolonged period of time.
It makes holidays, anniversaries, and
everything
birthdays very, very difficult.
All right. So we've talked about all of these issues, these problems. What are the best three things that a person that's considering selling portion of his LLC or in a corporate, what are the best three or four things that somebody can do to help insulate from all of these issues?
Well, it's sort of a zero-sum game. Mm. To the extent that you are providing good rights to minority owners, you're sort of limiting the rights of the majority.
Sure.
Owners. So it's sort of a zero-sum game. When you give to one, you take from the other. But let's talk about the three things that ought to be done in basic fundamental fairness.
Right.
First, I think you've got to have a good review of the operating agreement or the bylaws. There ought to be some protections for the minority owners, whether that means that they have a director, so therefore they're entitled to sit in the meetings, whether there are provisions that they approve certain transactions over a certain amount or a certain extraordinary. But number one is look at the operating agreement bylaws. Number two, I think that a real good solution can be a buy-sell agreement. When someone comes in as a minority owner, more likely than not, they're there because they have capital. It's better to bring a minority owner in if they've got expertise or they've got something that they can really add to the business, but most often we find it's a question of capital. So there ought to be some kind of back-end arrangement. What is the exit strategy? The final thing that you could do to sort of be fundamentally fair is consider your position as a director or as a officer of the company, as a fiduciary, just like it's said in the Iowa Code. And when you look at yourself as a fiduciary, that you have an obligation of fairness to all of the owners of the company, not just the majority owners, not just perhaps to yourself, it takes a very different light. And that way, the operations of the business will better reflect the fairness of the company. There is one other right that a minority owner has that I think is worthy of mention before we come to a close. And that is a minority owner does have rights to information. They do have the right to get minutes of meetings. They do have the rights to get financial information. And sometimes they can make themselves a big enough aggravation that the majority simply wants to buy them out. And sometimes they're able to get out at a premium. Michael, there's lots of different kinds of business structures. Oftentimes, the entrepreneur will own the entire business. But when they don't, they'll bring in minority owners. I think it's important for those people who are brought in, those people who have a minority, to know that just because they're not in control does not mean they don't have some power. And I think that there are protections that are built in by both the Iowa Code as well as normally the bylaws or operating agreement to protect their rights.
Hmm. Fascinating and interesting conversation about minority ownership in a company and those rights that you may or may not have, depending on what's going on. And we looked at two different things. We looked at corporations and also LLCs, and also the statute in Iowa versus what's in the operating agreements and the buy-sell. Fascinating stuff. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for
having me.
It's
always interesting stuff. Sam Creamer, ladies and gentlemen, from the Creamer Law Firm. If you missed all or part of this interview, we will have it up on our blog post a little bit later on tonight. Thank you, sir, for doing this.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. We got to go. It's time to check out what happened today on Wall Street. Earnings report this week, and there's a lot of stuff going on. And for the most part, investors kind of sat back and said, well, let's see what the numbers look like before we start buying and selling. We'll have all those details for you next when the Business News Hour continues.
Come inside, it looks like rain.